title of the message this morning is In Everything Give Thanks. I want to begin by just with this quote. Our choice to give God thanks should not rest on Him doing something for us, but for what He has already done and what He continues to do through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's up on the screen for you, I think. It will be shortly. There's our scripture for this morning. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that quote again, our choice to give God thanks should not rest on Him doing something for us, but for what He has already done and what He continues to do through Christ Jesus, His Son. I really truly believe that everyone here understands what it means to give thanks. I think we all have a pretty good understanding of what that means. But I want to tell you a little story to begin with this morning to help us really focus in on this idea of thanksgiving. Not the holiday, but the attitude and the lifestyle that Christians should have. So I want to share this story about a minister who entered a crowded restaurant. And he sat down across from a man that was already eating. And the minister paused, as he was accustomed to doing, to give thanks for the meal. And so he had bowed his head and offered a prayer unto God and returned thanks for the meal that he was about to receive. And so the man that was seated next to him was perplexed. He said to the fellow diner, he said, something wrong with the food? You got a headache or something? What's the matter? He said, I don't see people put their head down like that. Are you all right? He said, oh, the minister said, yeah, he explained, I'm perfectly okay. He said, I was just returning thanks to God for the meal. I'm very grateful that He provided it for me, and I wanted Him to know that I'm thankful. To which the man replied, oh, he said, yeah, I get it. You're one of those. You're one of those people, aren't you? And he was never, ever thankful for anything, this other man. He just said, well, I don't thank God for anything. He goes, I work for my paycheck. I earn everything I have. No one provides it. And he said, when I see food come in front of me, I just dig right in. To which the minister replied, I have a dog that's a lot like that. He's that way too. I want you to think this morning about the man seated at that table. I want you to keep that in focus this morning. And what he believed, that he was responsible for the food that was on his plate. That he was responsible for every bite that went into his mouth. That he was the one that worked for it. He was the one that provided it. And he wasn't going to thank anybody for it. I think that there are many people in the world today that are just like this. I would say that there are even people in churches today and Christians who have this same attitude to say, you know what? I worked for it. I prepared my life to be this way, and I'm not going to return thanks because I earned it. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, and I'm taking credit for everything. If that person is you, then this message is for you this morning. If that person is not you, this message is still for you this morning. Because not all of us are thankful for everything all the time as we should be. We're not always thankful for the good things, and we're definitely not always thankful for the hardships. Our being thankful goes deeper than just saying thank you on the surface, than just being thankful to overcome difficult circumstances when we've overcome something difficult. What I'm talking about this morning is more of a style of worship and praise and what we do to God when we give thanks and how we return that to Him. Giving thanks to God comes from a place within us. Much like the fruits of the Spirit, like we talked about last week, they come from deep inside of us when we remember where we could be without Christ. when we remember where we would be in this life without God, without his sacrifice, when we remember where we would be in this life if it were not for others who helped to provide that education or that job or those hours for us to work. Not just in the world, though, physically, but also spiritually. And where we think about when we spit, where we will spend eternity. What are you thinking about this morning? Are you thinking about how you can just get by in this world? I caution you to always think not only about this world, but also about eternity and where you will all be. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 4, reads as follows. It is a good thing to give thanks. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning, and your faithfulness every night. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. David was telling us here in this psalm that he was giving thanks to God first and foremost. He was giving thanks to the Lord, and in that he was also singing his praise. How many of you came through the doors this morning with thanksgiving in your hearts? How many of you came in this morning with praise upon your lips, singing praise to the Most High for his loving kindness? Or did you come in grumpy this morning and upset about something that happened, or that you had to get up early, or that it was cold outside, and that you had to transfer from a warm house to a warm car that you remotely started and warmed up to a warm church building? That's something to be thankful for. Not everybody has that opportunity. David tells us that it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness in the morning and every night. So multiple times a day, we are to give thanks. And he says, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work, and I will triumph in the works of your hands. Psalm 107 says, oh, that they would praise the Lord for his goodness. In this psalm, David says, man, why can't people just be thankful? Why can't people be thankful like we are? Why can't people give thanks unto the Lord? And so while we cry out and we say it's good to give thanks to the Lord, it's good to praise the Lord, we can also know that there are people in the world that are not doing that. And our hearts ache for them. And we can say with the psalmist, oh, that they would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that they would see it. Oh, that they could understand it, like the man in the restaurant. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 4 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Again, we enter into his gates. We enter into his presence, into this sanctuary, into this place with praise. And it's not only in this place, it's also when you pray to the Lord during the week and your quiet time. At work, when you're having a difficult time, you approach the Lord and you make a joyful noise to him. And it says, all the lands cry out. Not just certain parts, but all the lands cry out to the Lord and give with thanksgiving. And in the courts, they praise his name. They're thankful unto his name. David says, make a joyful noise. This is one of those musicians' jokes that we always say. You know, if you can't sing or carry a tune in a bucket, we always say, well, make a joyful noise. You know, just sing from your heart. I know in my own experience as a pastor through the years, I've encountered people who couldn't sing at all, but they felt God's love in their heart and they wanted to express it and sing it. And when I first heard them, oh, my ears cringed a little bit. But then I realized that they were praising the Lord. And every time thereafter I heard them sing, it was as if my tone, the experience of that tone was gone. And I was able to see the smile upon the face of this man. and to see the beauty of God in him and in the music that he made. You see, David is saying to us here that he doesn't want us to be happy just when our bills are paid. He doesn't want us to be happy just when things are going great. He also wants us to be joyful when we're having a bad day. He wants us to understand that even though we may not have good friends, we can still be joyful. When we've got more month than money left, we should still be thankful. When we've got more month than money left at the end of the month, we should still be thankful. We're to praise the Lord even when we're sick, even when we're in pain, and especially when we don't feel like it. And there's reasons for that. Giving thanks is something we do as a choice, and it comes out of a grateful heart. Our giving thanks is something that comes out of a grateful heart. And so when we look at these next verses, we're going to take a look at that. And our verse for today, our theme text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but sometimes I think that we should only praise God when things are going well. Or that's the understanding that I think that many people have. That we are only to give thanks to God when things are going well. Or we're only to say thank you to someone when they do something for us. Some believe that we should give thanks only for blessings and not the hardships of life that we must endure. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 13. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul is saying here, whether he had money or no money, whether he had possessions or no possessions, whether he had what he needed for the day or didn't have what he needed for the day. Those are the words, abased and abound. Abased is not having anything, not having what you need. He was able to rise above those circumstances. How about you? How about you in your life right now? It's difficult out there right now. Gasoline is costing more than it has in a long time, although it's come down a little bit. Food prices are rising constantly. These are difficult days. In the midst of that, both good and bad, how are you responding? How are you, as a Christ follower, shedding the light of Christ in this difficult day? What is it that you're doing to make a difference? I want to remind you this morning that whether your bills are paid or not, God is still God. That God is still God. Whether you have friends or not, or whether you have new friends, God is still God and sits on the throne. God is God in my good times. God is God in my bad times. God is God in my happy times, and God is God in my sad times. And God is God in my best circumstances, and God is God in my worst circumstances. And in all of these things, I can rejoice. Why? Because it is Christ who strengthens me. It's not us. We don't provide it for ourselves so that we boast about it, but Christ gives us those things. We can do this. Why? Because our security rests in him. And it should rest in him and him alone. That's where our security is. And we need to learn this from time to time. And it is times like we're going through now. It is times like we were going through in the past that were challenging to us. that we need to relearn and refocus these things. Whether or not we should choose to give thanks or not, and just be in the mindset, and in the midst, rather, of dealing with whatever comes our way. Our willingness to give thanks, think about this, our willingness to give thanks is a testimony. It's a testimony as to who we are in Christ, and other people see it. So I want to remind you tonight of another opportunity that you have to gather with people of like mind and faith for our Bond County Ministerial Community Thanksgiving service at 6:30 at the United Methodist Church. Come and share with brothers and sisters in Christ from our community for a time of praise and prayer, and be blessed as you share in this time together. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, "Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." Before we do anything else, before we ask God for anything, the psalmist writes here, do so with thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be thankful. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. We do this, again, as a form of worship. A form of our worship and a form of our praise to Almighty God. You know, from an early age, we teach our children to say thank you. And we often have to prompt them when someone gives them something. Now, what do you say? And you hope that you don't have to continue that activity for the rest of their lives. But in this life, we often feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit in reminding us from God, a gentle nudge to say, now what do you say? What do you say? You say thank you. I think it's easy to say thank you to God for something that's already been done. I think it's easy for you and me to go to somebody to say thank you for something that they've already done for us. But how many of you have ever heard somebody say thank you to God for what he is going to do? How many of you have prayed that way in advance about, God, thank you for what you are going to do, and you have no clue, no idea what that's going to be, and yet you give thanks to God for it in advance? If you went to a friend and you told them, thank you for something that you're going to do for me in advance, they'd probably look at you like you were crazy, right? But God expects this from us. The very first thing he wants us to do is say thank you. And this idea of being grateful for all that we have. Not just the things that we already have or the things that God has already done, but especially for the things that God is going to do. We believe that God is out in front of us, that time has no constraint on him, and he knows, and he's already there. Ahead of us, preparing the way, as he did for the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. Once we understand that God has already promised to do for us when we ask, we can treat God like we treat each other and give thanks to each other. I want you to think about these next words. Our heart should be one of praising him for what we know he can do versus waiting on him to do it and then thanking him for it afterwards. Our heart should be one of praising him for what we know he can do versus waiting to see him do it and then thanking him afterwards. Verse 15 of this same psalm goes on, and it says, "And call upon me, the Lord, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you when you honor me." So in the time of trouble, in the time of turmoil, in the difficult days, call upon the Lord. Call upon him, and he will be there as you honor him. And you will, as he delivers you, you will glorify or you will honor his name when you do that in difficult days. Not just in the good days, but also in those difficult days. Again, how many of you have heard folks give testimony before? Something we used to do often in churches. People giving testimonies. And many times those testimonies were focused on something that God had already done. Something that God had answered a prayer. Some way in which he'd answered their prayer. Of something that they had prayed for. Maybe a short time, maybe a long time. Maybe they were healed. Maybe something happened to them that changed their lives. But how many of you have heard people in advance stand up in church and say, "Thank God. I'm thanking God here today for something that he's going to do. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm grateful to him in advance for it." I want to caution us this morning, this time and season of Thanksgiving, to thank God not only during the times that are good, but also the times that are challenging and difficult. When we don't give thanks to God, it can be costly. It can be costly to us, especially for those of us who identify as one of his children. Listen to what Paul writes to the Roman church in chapter 1, verses 18 and 21. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Remember the man at the table, the beginning of our story. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They became vain. They began to think that they were the ones that were providing, that all they had, they worked for. And they earned. I know for a fact that I would not be standing before you today had it not been for people in my life that invested in me, that prayed for me, that were my mentors and my friends. I would not be standing right here today. I promise you that. Perhaps you can say something similar as you reflect upon your past. If you continue reading in the book of Romans, and by the end of the chapter, you see that it wasn't God who gave up on people, but rather the people that gave up on God. And it says that God released these people to do their own thing. They weren't going to follow the Lord. They weren't going to be thankful to the Lord. And so God let them do their own thing, and they gave in to their lustful desires and their ways of living. And so when we are not thankful to God in our own lives, when you and I choose to take it upon ourselves to say we provided for everything, it's an indication that our hearts are changed, that they've been darkened, and Satan would want nothing more for us than to do that. Our hearts are slowly drifting away from him and then causing, grief to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One last scripture this morning from Philippians 4, chapter 6. This is a well-known scripture, but again, it fits here. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Another word for that is worry. For anxious. Don't worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Again, I want to speak very specifically this morning to the needs that I see in our community and around the world. It's challenging right now in our world. There are a lot of things going on. There are a lot of changes that are happening in our midst, and this has been the case for many, many years. but it's especially difficult right now. When you turn on the news, you always see that there's something else happening, some more bad news, something happening someplace around the world. With that, all of that constantly bombarding us, I can see personally, and I want you to know I identify with this, that there are times when you say, man, I don't know how I can be thankful. I'm struggling right now. I don't know how to say thank you right now. I don't feel it genuinely in my heart. Paul says to the church at Philippi, don't worry about anything. Tell it to God. Tell it to God and let your request be made known to him. Jesus says a very similar thing in John's Gospel, chapter 14. But our natural response is to worry, isn't it? It's to worry. That's how we're wired, it seems. We worry if something will happen. We worry if something won't happen. And if it will happen, we worry how it's going to happen. And if we don't understand it, we don't think it can happen. How we limit ourselves, how we limit God and the blessings that he would already have for us if we just simply say, Lord, I know that you're going to do something in this place. I know that you're going to do something in our midst. We worry about any and everything, and then we wonder why it is that we struggle to pray. Well, we don't, if you're already worried about it, you're already doing a lot of the work and you're fatigued and you're exhausted, and you don't find time to pray because you've worried about it or you have already tried to figure it out yourself. We like to focus on the problem rather than the answer. We like to focus on the failure rather than the promise of victory that is ours through Jesus Christ. We like to focus on the giants and not the rock in the slingshot of a small shepherd boy. We like to focus on the loss and not the gain. So Paul urges us not to worry. And he gives us a reason to give thanks in everything, in every way, and in all circumstances. And that we should face every day with thanksgiving. Again, not just a day, not just a holiday, but every single life here and in this world. Because we have a guarantee. And what's that guarantee? That God has never failed us. That even the things that we find to be impossible, with the small mustard seed, we can move a mountain. God can make things happen when we think we can't. But he's bigger. He's stronger. He has a plan. What is your response going to be? Will you continue to worry? Everything that we have, everything that God has done for us and will do for us is by the grace of God. The old saying of there, but by the grace of God go I. It's by the grace of God that you're here today. There's a reason that we're assembled in this place today. I want to say that, though, for every reason we can find doubt and worry, we can just as easily find, if our attitudes and our hearts are in the right place, a reason to give thanks to God for everything, everything that he has done, and everything that he will do. Hindsight's 20/20. You can look back and be grateful for those hard days. I guarantee you, I've lived not as long as many of you, but I've lived a good long time now. And I know from the experience that I have that there's going to be more difficult days ahead. But in those, I need to be thankful just as much as I have been for the good times in my past. So I want you to be thankful today. Be thankful today. But not just today, not just on Thursday. Be thankful this week, not only for this season, but in all circumstances and at all times. Don't be like that pastor's dog who just gobbled up everything that was placed in front of them. Be the person who bowed their head in prayer and simply thank God for what he had provided, what he had done, and what he was going to do. A blessed Thanksgiving to you and all of your loved ones. Amen.